because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good. You are good to me. Again, say, and I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good. You are good. Second verse, let's sing. Nothing and no one comes anywhere close to you. The earth and oceans deep only reflect this truth. And in my darkest night, you shine as bright as day. Your love amazes me. And I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good. You are good, Lord. I sing today, and I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good. Let's sing. How great is our God, like this. How great.
Seems like everybody these days start with the phrase, in these uncertain times. And it kind of made me wonder, what is certain today? What is sure? Whose word can we trust? And I find myself just going back to the word of God. Because the word of God has endured for generation upon generation upon generation through everything that humanity might have ever faced. And so today I want us to read from Scripture, knowing that His word and His truth is what endures and will endure forever and ever. So we're gonna read from Romans 8, and I wish I could read the whole chapter. So if you have time, read it. But we're gonna just read the last two verses in this chapter. So let's read it out loud. CA reading. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we need to say, amen, amen. Sing that again. My hope
is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name.
Let's sing this chorus. In Christ alone,
Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the same. Righteousness alone, faultless to stand before.
Can it be faultless? Sing that line again. Say,
faultless to stand before the throne. One day we will be faultless to stand before the throne.
Christ alone,
Christ alone.
you do. Not for the blessings you give, though you've been faithful and true, with mercy brand new. But because there is no one above you, just because you are a God, we worship you. We worship you. We honor you, Lord, we do.
Well, welcome everyone. My name is Jill, and I'm so glad you've joined us for worship this weekend. If you are new or visiting us today online, I want to extend a special welcome. You can go to cachurch.com or to our CALA app for more info and to fill out a connection card online so that we can get in touch with you. This fall, we'll be having 8-week life groups that will meet to share life, discuss our weekend sermon series, and pray together. We are looking for men and women who would want to lead an 8-week life group. So if you're interested in leading a group, you can go to our life groups webpage to find out more details. Our fall men's gathering will be on Wednesday, September 15th, both in person and online. Men, make sure to be there to spur one another on with encouragement, prayer, and a timely teaching from men. And then ladies, our women's gathering is coming up on September 1st as we kick off our fall together. We'll be meeting in person and online to worship together, be encouraged by God's word, and have fun. Register online. We also encourage you to give online through our Christian Assembly LA app or on our website by clicking on the Give tab. And we just want to say thank you so much for your ongoing giving and generosity. Would you join me as we pray together? God, thank you so much for a new day. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning. And God, thank you for all that you have done for us and the abundant blessings you have put in our lives. God, we pray for all of our fall ministries that are kicking off and that are happening. God, we pray for our upcoming men's and women's gatherings. We pray for our life groups and our 8-week groups. God, we pray for CA students as our students are gathering together. And Lord, we just pray that people would get connected to one another and that they would grow deeper in their faith in you, Jesus. God, would you speak to us? Would you encourage us throughout this weekend's worship services? We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, you guys, it is a Kingdom weekend, so let's take a look at our one-day LA event and hear from Scott Quay for our Kingdom update.
Hey, church family, my name's Scott, and I want to start by saying a huge thanks to the 120-plus people who served last month for the One Day LA Serve Day across 6 different serve sites. We received letters of thanks from the staff at CV High School, partnering organizations, and heard a lot of stories of people experiencing God's love in a tangible way. So thanks again to all those who were part of making that happen. And as amazing as it was to be part of the One Day LA Serve Day, it doesn't stop there. Our Kingdom value isn't just an event that we do, but a lifestyle that we live. God's called us all to use our passions, gifts, and spheres of influence that he's given us to be his ambassadors where he's placed us in our everyday lives. So as we look forward to this fall, let's ask ourselves, what role can I play in God's kingdom? If you're looking for a next step, I encourage you to join us for the prayer walk outreach we're going to be doing on September 18th in Eagle Rock. We're going to pray for the needs of our city, as well as pray for others that we encounter out in the community. So you can find more information and register on our website. Well, now we get to hear from Carlos Montoya with La Roca Ministries in Tijuana, Mexico. Carlos and Rosie have been longtime Kingdom partners for over 20 years with CA, and we're so thankful for the ways they've served for the long haul. Let's check out their update together.
Greetings to our friends and family at Christian Assembly. I'd like to start by saying thank you. Thank you for your prayers and support, which allows us to be the feet of Jesus Christ here in the city of Tijuana. If you don't know me, my name is Carlos Montoya. I've been serving faithfully along with my wife, Rosie Montoya, in the city of Tijuana. We've been blessed to be able to start 5 major ministries here. and one that's a shelter where we house 150 men. And they come off the streets to receive a warm bed, a warm meal, and showers and so forth. We have our ranch where men come off the streets and get cleaned up and leave drugs and get discipled and become part of the Roca staff. An orphanage, we have boys and girls which are left by their parents, which have problems with drugs and prostitution and never coming back for them. At the dump, we have full-time staff meeting the needs of the people, the workers and the children with warm meals and drinking water and much more. In the immigrants camp, we had one family, Deanna. The mother came along with her children and got warm meal, showered in clean clothes, and got God's word. And she wanted to be baptized, so we baptized her on the spot. So as you see, we're keeping busy doing all these works. And again, I want to thank you for allowing us to be faithful to the calling that God has placed upon us. Thank you.
Well, we're so thankful for La Roca and the ways that they're serving the least of these in Jesus' name. It's incredible that they're not only meeting physical needs, but the ways that people are coming to Christ and how discipleship is happening through the local church. We're so thankful for their ministry over the long haul. Well, CA family, I just want to say thanks again for your prayers, service, and generosity, putting apart such amazing things that God's doing both locally and globally. You can give to the Kingdom Offering, which supports all of our missional efforts that are having tremendous impact. You can give online by clicking the Kingdom Offering tab. Thanks so much for linking arms and God's mission together.
Well, it's great to be with you today. My name is Matt. If you're visiting, it's always such an honor to have you, if this is your first time, perhaps, to tune in to our online services. Thanks for spending this time with us. We're going to look at another psalm today. We've been working through a series in the Psalms, and actually that series will be finished next weekend. And after that, Tom will be back, and I'm very much looking forward to that, to having him back, and he'll begin a new series, so can't wait for that to happen. Well, over the past few weeks, many of you know that a new school year has started, which means most students and teachers and administrators are back in full swing, or some form of that anyways. And maybe it's because I'm married to a teacher or because of our four kids being in school, but I'm very much aware of all of the effort that goes into a new school year, and especially the challenges that are faced in doing school under our circumstances. So, all that to say, I'd like to just take a moment and lead us all in prayer for our schools, our students, our teachers, administrators. Pray with me for a moment, if you would. Lord, we are grateful for our children. We're grateful for another generation, Lord. We're grateful for these students and the chance that they have to be educated. Lord, I thank you for the public school system and the private schools and the home schools and all of the different education that's going on. And I ask, Lord, we ask together, Father, would you be very much present and a part of all that is going on in those contexts this new school year? Lord, I pray for the students that you would bless them, that you would be with them and protect them. God, I pray for the teachers, Lord, that you would bless them. You would give them favor, Lord, in their classrooms, that you would give them good health and strengthen them to serve the important roles that they have. God, I pray that you give them patience and flexibility as they figure things out this school year. I pray, Lord, for the administrators, those who are in leadership and making tough choices and decisions and facing conflict and facing people who want it this way and people who want it that way. Lord, I pray, God, that you would bring your peace to reside on those campuses and in those homes and in that school context this year, Lord. We give you thanks for it all, and we trust you in Jesus' name. And we say together, amen. Well, I've heard it said that teaching is a calling. You ever heard anybody say that? That it takes a special person or a special calling to teach. My wife teaches junior high, and people will say to her, oh, that's a special calling to work with those 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. For some reason, though, we don't say that same thing, that it takes a special calling about just any other job, you know, other jobs, most other jobs. We never say it takes a special calling to be a plumber or to be a roofer or to be a grocery store cashier. And yet, I've known people, and you've known people, who were truly gifted for those jobs and those roles. There are cashiers at grocery stores who I have learned over time that I'm going to have a more enjoyable experience in their line. There are some cashiers whose lines I will get in, even though it might be a little longer, to be in their line. Maybe you have a favorite cashier. I have a plumber. A guy named Gary, who's saved in my contacts. And if I've got a plumbing issue, Gary is the guy I'm going to call. Sometimes Gary will have to send one of his colleagues. And I know when that happens, they're not going to have what I need. I need Gary on this job. Some people just seem to find a purpose in their life. What's involved in finding your calling in life? How do we discover what we should do with our life or what purpose to live for? I'm not convinced, and I want to be clear about this, I'm not convinced that everyone is called to a specific career. But I do believe that each of us are called to live a uniquely God-given purpose in our lives. I believe that God's Word makes it very clear that every life matters, no matter who you are. None of us are random accidents in God's eyes. And every life will ultimately serve to glorify God. God's Word tells us that that is true. And that may very likely have little or nothing to do with the job that you work. But we are called to live with this unique God-given purpose. And that's what I want to talk to you about this weekend. Psalm 138 gives us a glimpse into a life, the life of someone who has learned to pursue God's purpose. And I want to tell you how I believe that you and I can discover and live for the unique purposes for which God calls each one of us. How we discover His calling in our lives and live for that purpose. So let's look at Psalm 138. It's a prayer written by David when he was king of Israel. And I want to walk through the psalm with you to get our grounding and our understanding of God's Word. And I want you to notice in this prayer, listen for how David has learned to pursue God's purpose for his life. So Psalm 138 begins like this. I give you thanks, O Lord, with all my heart. I will sing your praises before the gods. Now that's a bold way to begin a prayer. Other nations at this time when David was king of Israel, other nations had their own pantheons of idols that they worshiped. But it's like David is saying in this statement, others may claim power and authority, but I know the living God, and there is none beside Him. There is only one who is worthy to be praised, and there is no higher power, no greater authority that gives David's life purpose. And this, it's important just to think about that for a moment, because your confidence and God's authority over you is essential to discovering and living out God's calling for you. You've got to submit your life to His authority in order to discover and live out His purpose for you. Without a growing confidence in God's authority, we will tend to take on causes that serve other claims of authority. We will run after fleeting agendas for lesser claims of power. But David, notice, goes on to pray in verse 2, "I bow before your holy temple as I worship," he says to the Lord. "I praise your name for your unfailing love and faithfulness, for your promises are backed by all the honor of your name." You hear the confidence that David has in God? Verse 3, he says, "As soon as I pray, you answer me." Now, anyone who knows Garth Brooks' classic knows that sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. David's not claiming there that God just does everything he asks him to do, that God gave him what he asked every time he asked for it. What David is saying here is that he's acknowledging that God has always heard his prayers and always responded to David with faithfulness, with kindness, with love, with mercy, with the courage that David needed. In other words, David's not saying God's a vending machine, but God is always able to be counted on. So God may not always do what we ask, but look at what David says next in his prayer. He says, "You encourage me by giving me strength." God's going to give David strength to endure and to keep on serving God. Verse 4, "Every king in all the earth will thank you, Lord, for all of them will hear your words." I mean, this guy is full of confidence in the greatness and supremacy of our God. Verse 5, he says, "Yes, they will sing about the Lord's ways, for the glory of the Lord is very great. And though the Lord is great, he cares for the humble, but he keeps his distance from the proud. Though I am surrounded by troubles, you will protect me from the anger of my enemies. You reach out your hand, and the power of your right hand saves me." This last part of David's prayer here is like David summing up the story of his life as a prayer of thanksgiving to God. Whenever David showed up, you can read about this in his life in Scripture. Whenever David showed up, no matter what the circumstances were, God always found a way to display his power through David's faith and vulnerability. Throughout David's life, the God of Israel becomes more and more known and more worshiped by more and more people, as they hear about the power of God that is at work through this little king who isn't out for his own fame and glory, but whose faith is unflinching, no matter how vulnerable he may be. David always believes, my God has all that I need, and he is strong, and he is able, and he is going to be glorified. That became David's primary pursuit in life. It became what David lived for, to put himself in situations where God's greatness and power could be displayed through his faith and through his vulnerability. That's what David lived for. It was like, show me another place. Show me where to go. Give me another chance to show up vulnerable with faith in Almighty God, and give me a chance to do that, and God's going to display his glory through my life. That's the purpose for which David began to live. And then he finishes up this prayer. He concludes it in verse 8, saying, "The Lord will work out his plans for my life." What a comforting, reassuring, hopeful statement of faith. When life gets crazy, when life is full of uncertainty, when life does not look the way I expected, or things are just not happening as quickly or as easily as I would like, God, are you going to work all of this out? I can't help but think of Paul's words in Romans 8:28, when he reassures those people in Rome. He says, and we know this. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. David prays, the Lord will work out his plans for my life. Oh, it isn't finished yet. There's still some work going on. Don't give up on this yet. Just wait. Just wait and see what this will turn out to be. And I'm trusting that the Lord will work out his plans for my life, for your faithful love, David says. Oh, Lord, it endures forever. Don't abandon me, for you made me. You made me. No one is a random accident. Your life matters, and God will not give up on those who trust in him. There's a purpose. There's a purpose for you. I want to help you to recognize and respond to God's calling in your life to live for the purpose he's given you. You don't have to be a king like David for God to want to accomplish his purposes through your life. If you matter to God, you have a purpose. If you are breathing, God has a purpose for your life. If you are here, if you are hearing my words, then God has a purpose for you, for your life. And so I want to tell you a way to think about this that's been helpful to me. I think about responding to God's calling and pursuing God's purpose for my life like a viewfinder on an old camera. Some of you remember what a viewfinder was. Before our phones had cameras, every camera had a little window on the back of it that you would look through to find what you wanted to take a picture of. Now we don't have the cameras with the viewfinders. What do we have now? We have the screens, right? Most of us, in fact, will use our phones to take pictures all the time. And so we look through that screen, and wherever we aim that screen, that's the picture we're going to take. In fact, look at this image that I have here of just someone holding that phone to take a picture. Whatever is in that screen will end up in the picture. That's why it matters what you aim at. In responding to God's calling in your life and pursuing God's purposes for your life is a lot like looking at life through a camera, through a screen. Wherever we aim our attention, our time, our skills, our talents, our interests, that all will determine what purposes we pursue in our lives. What are you aiming for in your life? And I want to suggest some ways that I have learned to help, that help me find what to aim for. I think about it like aiming a camera to take a picture. Sometimes we take pictures of large, wide landscapes, and sometimes we take close-up pictures of little details. So we might zoom in like this image of a small seashell, And in the same way, sometimes God wants to accomplish large, wide purposes that have sweeping impact on the people and the world around us. And other times God calls us to accomplish what might seem like small little tasks that require careful, close, close-up attention, impacting this person's life just in this moment. I might aim for big plans and I might aim for small impact, but I'm aiming for God to work out His plans in my life either way. It matters either way. The big stuff matters, the small stuff matters. And I'm looking for, how do I know what to aim this phone at? Our pursuit of God's purposes in life probably look like a combination of the big pictures and the close-up small details. Big picture purposes and small detail purposes. And so how do I know if I'm aiming my life in the right direction? How do I discover God's purposes for me? Well, just like a screen or a viewfinder has four sides, I want to tell you four areas of life to pay attention to that can help us aim for the purposes for which God calls us. Okay, so here's the first thing you want to pay attention to discover God's call and to respond and live for His purpose. First thing to pay attention to is God's Word. Pay attention to what is said to us, what's been revealed to us in the pages of Scripture, in the Bible. What does God's Word say to not just all of us? What's God's Word spoken to you? If you want to know what God wants to accomplish with your life, listen to Him speak to you through His Word. God knows how to communicate with you. He knows how to reveal His truth through His words. Now, you may or may not hear a voice. God can speak through the words of others and through circumstances. God can speak to us as we pray, as we worship, sometimes when we're least expecting it. Now, I've never heard an audible voice, like I've never heard God speak with a voice like James Earl Jones or like Morgan Freeman, but I have had experiences that I can only explain as the Spirit of God speaking to me through the words of Scripture and in an undescribable way of simply knowing that God is revealing His Word to me. I believe God knows how to speak to you, and I believe that God can lead us and guide us, convict us, and comfort us in very personal ways through His Word, through the Scriptures. In fact, I believe that's one of the most common ways for the Spirit of God to speak to us is through the pages of the Bible, through the Word of God. The Spirit of God can use Scripture to speak directly and personally to me and to you. There may be times when something you read in the Bible, just it applies perfectly to a situation in your life. Or God's Word can be a source of great comfort when you are going through a time of struggle. God's Word can be like a guide through difficult circumstances. God's Word is living and active. I am amazed, in fact, at how many times I read Scriptures, and they may be Bible verses I've read a dozen times before and seem to have just skimmed over, and suddenly it's like they jump off the page with fresh meaning for my life. God can speak to us through Scripture in our daily circumstances, and He can speak through the Bible about the purposes He has for each of us. And so if you want to know what purpose to aim at with your life, listen for God to speak to you through his living and active word. There are certain words of scripture, certain verses that are deeply meaningful to me and have shaped the course of my life in critical ways. There have been other times along the way that God has spoken to me through his word to confirm and to strengthen and to focus and refocus my aim on his purpose for my life. And that's the first thing we've got to look for as you discover God's calling and purpose for you. Are there any verses in the Bible that are personally meaningful to you? Are there any verses in the Bible that you have gone back to maybe time after time to remind yourself of what God's word says? And in fact, I want to encourage you that if that isn't the case, if you're like, Matt, you know what? You're talking to somebody else. I don't have any verse like that. I've never heard God speak to me through his word. If that's the case, that just simply means that you can start right now beginning to trust God to do that and listen for God to do it and look for him to do it. Take some time. If there are verses that come to your mind, write them down. This is a verse that means a lot to me that I've gone back to time and time again, and ask God to help you see how that has shaped your faith and your life and helped you know what to aim for with your and as a purpose for your life. Or if you don't have those verses, spend some time reading through the Bible. Open it up and begin to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you through God's word. I believe that God will do that for you. He's done it for me. And I ask, in fact, Lord, would you do that for everyone who's listening to me, who's going to open up the Bible and ask the Spirit of God to speak? Lord, speak to them. Second thing you want to pay attention to know where to aim your life, is community. First, God's word. And the second is those you do community with. What do you hear others say to you or about you? Now, not everything that others say to you or about you is helpful. I've been called some names, and you probably have too. I've heard painfully cutting words said to me. And not everything said to me has been helpful to recognize God's purpose in my life. But maybe you've heard people say things about you that have almost become like consistent messages that you hear it and you think to yourself, yeah, I hear that a lot. People say that about me or say that to me a lot. There might be some truth in those consistent words that help you recognize what has God called you to? What's God's purpose for your life? Or think about why people call on you or ask for you. What do people count on from you? Do people call on you because you're great at making plans or you're good at listening to others? Maybe people seek you out or rely on you because of your achievements in life or because you've survived through some challenges. What do people know of you? What do they know you for? My son, Nick, is 11 years old, and he is one of the most empathetic people I've ever met. I mean, he has more empathy than anyone I've ever known. In fact, Lindsay and I have told Nick this, and he likes to say that empathy is his superpower. Well, think about how you affect people who are in community with you. Nick's going to grow up, and if God continues to use that, I have no doubt in my mind, it won't surprise me that that little empathetic heart of his is going to have something to do with God's purpose for Nick's life. Are people led by you? Are people encouraged by you? Do people learn from you? Do people call on you for help or to pray for them or to listen to them? What kind of impact do you have on others? God often affirms his calling in our lives through the community of people we do life with. The third piece of this viewfinder of the screen is experience. Pay attention to experiences that God has given you. What has He brought you through? What's God allowed you to experience that's made your life unique from others? Not everyone went through what you went through. What happened to you? Not everyone has had that happen. Not everyone carries the scars you carry. Not everyone has developed the skills that you have. David, for instance, who prayed this prayer. David was the youngest and smallest of all of his brothers, and yet God gave David the ability to slay the giant Goliath so that the Philistine army would witness the greatness of God through the most unlikely person. And that experience shaped David. David knew that faith, not pride, not height, not armor, faith made way for God's glory to be shown in his life. David knew that his vulnerability, not his human strength, his vulnerability was opportunity for God to show his power to save. And David's experiences helped him recognize his purpose. He would be a man always aiming at opportunities for God to show his glory through those who depended on God's strength and power more than their own. What experiences have you had that help you aim for God's purposes in your life? I've had experiences that have increased my confidence in the power of God. And I've had other experiences that have deepened my compassion for people. I wonder if you've ever noticed something about someone's life or the circumstances they're in because you've been in those circumstances yourself. You might not even notice those things had God not enabled or allowed you to live through some stuff of your own. So what experiences does God want to use to say, look this way, notice that, see this with your life so that you can live for that purpose, aimed at that calling? And the fourth thing to notice to discover God's calling and purpose in your life is passion. Pay attention to what you are passionate about. Now, I need to kind of qualify what I mean by passion, because people use that word in lots of different ways. There's a lot of talk about discovering your passion or being passionate about something that you love to do. And people say, I'm passionate about art or I'm passionate about justice. What's that really mean? Usually it means that I take something very serious or I really enjoy doing something. People are passionate about all kinds of things, but I'm talking about a different kind of passion. The word passion originally meant to suffer. That's why the story of Jesus' suffering, being beaten and crucified, is called the Passion of Christ. To be passionate really means to be willing to suffer for something. You won't let anything stop you. You might lose your life, but that's not going to stop you from pursuing what you're passionate about. Paul talks about passion like a determination of an athlete. He says in 1 Corinthians, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. And I love this, verse 26. So run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing, Paul says. I'm not just messing around. I am passionate about the call in my life. In some ways, it's like a burden that you carry. I can't stop thinking about it. I can't stop wanting to do something about that. I can't just sit by and do nothing. I have to do something. Think about what the Spirit of God or the Word of God has created, kind of a, it bothers you that you see this happening and you know that God wants it a different way. What keeps you up at night? If only I could, I wish someone would. If that burden reflects the heart of God, if that burden is evident in Jesus' demonstration of love for us, if that passion of yours puts the glory of God on display, then it's probably worth you aiming at and going after as a purpose in your life. You know, ultimately, David trusts his entire life in God's hands. And a camera can only accomplish its purpose in someone's hands. A couple of times my camera app has been opened on my phone without me realizing it, and I'll find blurry pictures saved in my phone, and I think, what is that? Is that my pocket or something? I can't even tell what's in the picture, because the camera wasn't in my hands. And so it wasn't aimed at anything. If I want my life to be aimed at God's purposes, then I must trust my life in His hands. David said to the Lord, "You reach out your hand, and the power of your right hand saves me. The Lord will work out His plans for my life." Are you trusting your life in God's hands? Are you trusting that those are the hands of the Creator? Those are the hands that have a purpose for your life. Those are the hands that came to be your Savior. Those are the hands that were pierced for you and for me because of God's passionate love for us. He wouldn't stand by and just do nothing when we needed salvation, when we needed life with Him, when we needed forgiveness. God came to be our Savior. He was passionate about it. He did it with purpose, and He is calling us to be people who follow Him and trust Him and live with purpose. And we've got to trust our lives in His hands so that He can aim for what He wants to accomplish with each of us, and we can trust Him to do that. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank You, God, for Your love. Thank You for Your loving hands. Thank You, God, for having a purpose for each of our lives. And thank You, Lord, for being the God who will work out all of Your plans for each of us. God, I trust my life in Your hands. And I pray that You would help each person who's listening to this message. Would You help them lean into You and to find what You want them to see, what You want them to notice, what You want them to aim at with their lives, so that we might discover Your calling for each of us and live on purpose with You for Your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Together we say, amen.
in the reverence, living in the fear and awe, living in the wonder of our God.
Well, thank you guys so much for being with us today online. If you made a decision to follow Christ at any point during our service, or if you want to know more about what it means to follow Christ, please let us know so we can have a pastor follow up with you. You can email us at the address below or go to our webpage listed below as well. Well, now let me close with this benediction. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. See you guys next week.